a completely political intervention. We've seen that from the emails that were referred to earlier. The Theresa May's department was writing where the framework that they were adopting is there any way we can stop this person from speaking in Parliament? And that was the request that she put through in terms of trying to block him from coming to this country and speaking. So it's a clear issue of someone who is a leading Palestinian figure who has devoted his life to campaigning for peace and justice for Palestinians, who was with me on the Mavi Marmara last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been singled out by the government as someone who the government does not want to hear, and someone they do not want, moreover, the British population to hear. And I think that's what's so dangerous about this case. It's about trying to silence those voices that are completely legitimate voices and very important voices for us to hear. We've seen a whole series of allegations put against him, of files that have been put together by the Community Security Trust that are being challenged at the moment in his Immigration Tribunal case, that his legal team have made very strong representations of the changing, the misinterpretation, and also the adding of words that he hasn't said in those quotes to make it look like they're anti-Semitic. And he's challenged it very clearly, saying he is not anti-Semitic, he's a man of peace. He's been opposing racism for all of his life.
And of course, the irony is that he's quite free to move about in Israel, and he's not accused of these things within that country, and yet coming to England, he's barred from speaking. What would be your interpretation of how that could have come about?
Well, actually, he has been accused and trialled in Israel, and he's found not guilty. So even in Israel, he's been found not guilty. However, now in Britain, they're trying to put the charge of anti-Semitism against him. Just to clarify a couple of things that's actually happened so far.
Mm.
What we had the verdict last Friday, that was the judicial review as to why he was arrested, as the actual arrest in itself, was that legal? And as the video clip showed, the court found that he was illegally detained because he wasn't even told why he was arrested. Sheikh Raed was in Leicester at an FOA meeting, came down, was dropped off
at
a Friends of Al-Aqsa meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Where 1,000 people came to see him at very short notice, came down to London, dropped off a hotel at 11 o'clock. At 11:10, we got called saying he's been arrested. It was all premeditated, and the police were waiting for him. At the moment, as we speak, on Monday, there's the Immigration Tribunal in Birmingham to see whether it's illegal for him to be excluded in the country in the first place. So what's happening right now is extremely serious, and I really do urge the viewers to keep in touch with the findings, because the verdict...
And how can they do that, and what can they do to help if they want to?
They can go onto the PSC website, onto the Memo website, onto Friends of Al-Aqsa, FOA.org.uk, onto our Facebook, join our fanbook page. But it's imperative that we really follow this case, because the verdicts from this will have an implication on the pro-Palestinian movement, and it's really important that we watch these developments.
Hanan, you've been patiently listening. What is the Middle East Monitor's role in this?
Assalamu alaikum, first of all, Salma, and hi to your guests in the studio. The Middle East Monitor, essentially, we are the ones who invited Sheikh Raed to come to the country in the first place. He's the 3 times elected mayor of Umm al-Fahm, one of the most important Arab cities in Israel. He's the leader of the Islamic movement in the north. He's a well-known and well-respected advocate and campaigner for Jerusalem and for the Palestinian rights. So we brought him over here, and we've been with him from day one, and we're supporting him the whole way through this. As your guest in the studio made the point, this is more than a legal case. This is very, very political, what's happening
mm-hmm.
here. For the arrests who have been made in the first place, for his continued detention, for the attempt to deport him, it's a political move. The fact is that the UK government are trying to exclude pro-Palestinian activists and people who speak against the Israeli government. And yet next week, Zippy Livni has been invited by the UK government to come to the UK. Foreign Secretary William Hague invited her, and she's accepted the invitation. So someone who has been accused of war crimes, and who many people would like to see prosecuted for war crimes, she's being welcomed to the UK by the British government. And yet someone like Sheikh Raed, who was a previously mayor many times and a peace advocate, he is the one who's being arrested and detained, and that is something extremely serious.
Well, an important point that Dr. Hanan Chahata raises there as a contrast with how certain Israeli officials are being welcomed. And there's actually a legal point here which seems to have been not talked about so openly, how actually some of the law has been changed to facilitate that. Could you expand on that?
Absolutely. What happened was there have been a couple of major cases of Israelis who have wanted to come over here and arrest warrants have been sought against them. Doron Almog was the first case in 2005, and then, of course, Tzipi Livni. And
on what basis could people have arrested them at that time?
Well, on Tzipi Livni, it was very clear. It was her role in Operation Cast Lead. She was part of the inner cabinet that made the decisions about those horrific actions that the Israeli military carried out on 1.5 million Palestinians who were trapped in Gaza. So it's very clear her responsibility, her role, that these were crimes against humanity, they were war crimes, and someone still needs to take up this case. Those who are responsible must be prosecuted. Tzipi Livni refused to come to the country when it transpired that there was an arrest warrant being sought for her. And despite all of these protestations about these poor Israeli politicians and military figures who should have the right to come over here, we were making a very clear case. If people are responsible, if there's evidence that they have committed war crimes, they have to be brought to justice.
And what law would they have been able to do?
They would have been, there's a law called universal jurisdiction, a principle called universal jurisdiction, under which those responsible for very serious crimes, such as war crimes, can be tried anywhere in the world. And in Britain, the law has just been changed to facilitate the presence of people like Tzipi Livni in this country. What's really interesting is she was proclaiming that she would come over here and let the courts try her. She never did. But now she's had to wait until the law was changed to come over here. And I think that is in very, very sharp contrast to Sheikh Raad Salah, who has pursued his case legally through the courts, saying he has every right to be here and every right to express his views and to represent the Palestinian voice inside Israel in Britain.